Is Texas the wife beater state, or is that Florida?
Oh, no, niggas in definitely Florida definitely beat their wives. That might be. Nah, that's a fact.
Okay. No. I mean, niggas. I'm going to take your word on it. Nah, that's a fact.
That was settling in well. Got my first.
I mean, niggas in Texas complaints. Probably beat their wives too, but not as much as Florida. There's got to be more.
I was about to say.
What Florida colors can man? You have for those wife beaters, by the way? What colors can you do?
White and black. Anything other than that is crazy. A brown gray.
Joe Budden white.
Gray. I'll take the gray. Off gray, white. Black, and white. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. All right. That's cool. So if you ever saw somebody with a red tank top, you'd be like, yo, that's a wildcat.
I have a red tank blood. Top.
I knew I know he had multiple color joints. How many colors you got, Dooley?
I think like three or four. Yeah. Like a gray. You got a yellow red. One? No.
That was crazy.
Are you sure it's red?
Yeah. Oh, shit. All right, come on, guys. Oh, don't do that.
That's a good question, too.
That's more like a fuchsia. A salmon, if you will.
Brown and green are the tough ones. Blue and purple are the tough ones. Everything else, too.
Oh shit, that's hilarious! Keep making fun of him.
Said stop making fun of Abdul.
Oh,
he really is colorblind.
That is a fact. Damn, I forgot about that. Oh shit,
that should be funny. But I'm sorry, I love you. But damn,
we were somewhere. He was like, "What color is this?" I was like, "Green." He's like, "Okay."
Your mind, you're like, yo, this nigga slow. What's up with this nigga?
If it's not labeled, I gotta ask.
I was literally about to say, bro, he got turned around in the back.
Yeah, what color do you see the dollar bills in?
Would there, I mean, I know they're a green. They would be gray.
Don't I know they're a green, me? What color do you see?
I can't say it'd be something else. If somebody told me, yo, grab my brown jacket, if they never told me, damn, I shouldn't say it. I don't know what color the Attack on Titan jacket is.
Well, cut that right here and right before.
Grab a brown jacket, and I hope that shit has a tag on it.
I hope that shit has a tag on it.
Brown.
Describes the color to coat. Like, what? Yeah. Oh, man, that's tough.
It could be green. It could be dark brown.
Those are the only colors that you get mixed up with?
Brown. So my eyes don't absorb green light, so I can't tell blue and purple apart. I can't tell green and brown apart. Yeah.
You know your eye color, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah. There's like an exact term for it, too.
No, there is an exact term for it. I told you, my friend, we've had this convo so many times.
I know, but let's just keep making fun of him. Nah, yeah. So what happened?
I don't get it. I don't get a handicap sticker, guys. It's not that
I told you. Bro, my friend was literally only sees them black and white. Does not get a handicap. Anything.
Like, what color is a handicap sticker for you?
Not
for yeah. Yeah, we're doing a deep dive.
Even though these shouldn't be driving, but
we gotta move on, man. I've had too much fun.
That is true. The lines in the row. That might explain the situation, Loki.
No, those are
that's why he doesn't drive.
Black and yellow. Black road, yellow stripes. Those are easy colors, though. I don't know how y'all can tell brown and green apart. That's one of them things where I'm like, man.
This black man don't have the luxury to not see color. Come on. Like
he said, we're all the same color.
I guess I'm automatically not racist then, I guess. Yeah.
What color are we to you?
Oh, shit. Now he took it there.
What color are we to you, man? Like, am I black, brown, or...
Whatever color you guys want or identify as.
Whatever you want to be. We look like the gray nigga from Fairly Odd Parents and shit to this nigga.
Whatever you want, man. Get off of me, man. Gotta enter this pod.
Yes, y'all. Welcome back to the Geeked Up Podcast, your one-stop shop, everything nerd-related. I am your host, D, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, the first of which is a brand new daddy. Say what up to Daddy Roy.
Pappy.
What up? It's your boy, Roy. Not getting much sleep these days, but, you know, you guys will soon learn that. Soon.
Don't put that... curse on me, Ricky Bobby. Relax.
I heard you knock.
I'm knocking.
You hear me doing voodoo?
It's coming.
Nah, that's crazy. Black magic on niggas is crazy for a kid. That's why
I gotta do it. What they say? Crazy. You gotta bury some shit? I'm just gonna bury some. It's gonna be some of your girls. It's gonna be at your apartment. Brother.
That's a fact. Yeah, your Capricorn look brothers.
Look at that
right
shoe, buddy. Yeah. Look at that shoe, buddy.
Yeah, that's true.
And my second co-host who likes chicken nuggets with his steak.
See, you can't even get it out right. See, you don't even know how to BS me right.
I couldn't even think of what the fuck to say about you. I was like, I don't know. You like chicken nuggets.
Just let it be nice. That's all I care about. You know, Sasuke in the building. People supposed to tell me how my story's supposed to go, but hey, I'm going to do my own thing.
See, getting better at it. Quicker,
I know.
Man.
Every day, it gets better.
At some point, copyright is going to be like.
Not off of
you. Nah, you are a copyright man. God, no.
They do find me. I'm not going to lie. I do have the worst luck, but knock on wood again.
His hairstyle would match the game version, wouldn't it?
That is a fact. Look at you ahead of the topics.
My last co-host, who has finally tasted good barbecue. Say what up to the duel.
Yeah. Salute the one and duel. I'm back. Where do we go? Terry Black's? Yeah, one of the best barbecue spots. Actually, the best barbecue I've ever had. So, salute to DeAndre, A1 host.
Just low pork.
Just low pork.
Definitely cross contaminated, but we're not going to talk about it.
He got some
pork. I don't remember. If y'all did, then
they cut the pork ribs with the same brisket knife, you know?
That's my dad, though.
He comes in there and he's like, hey, man, I'm a Muslim, man. Hey, no cross contaminate.
That is not halal.
Texas, they make sure, hey, grab a portion with the pork and put it right next to the beef. I wanted you to mix that shit up together.
I felt bad. I felt like I was restricting them. I was like, bro, if y'all want to get swine, go ahead, man. It's right there for you guys.
Eat that uncultured, dirty meat. Go ahead. What's up to you?
Them pork ribs are sacred animals. Juicy. Can't get them.
They look good. I can't hate. They do look good. Which that's the one pork item I'm like, damn, that shit looks. And they were charging extra for beef ribs. Like, fuck.
No, the beef ribs are like a fucking Flintstone ass thing. It's pretty big. It's
That sounds fire.
I forgot where it was. If you're listening to the audio version, make sure to check out the video version on our YouTube channel, Geeked Up Productions. And please rate the show 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Your rating helps us move up the algorithm and bring in new listeners. And with the promotion out of the way.
I like our little funny segments. Yeah, so real quick, man. You know, we're in my autistic, you know, ask question corner. Just real quick for the guys, you know, it's a little segment. I want to start bringing this into the 24 year. Real quick, what kind of person are you whenever you're showing something to somebody? Are you the type to, like, I hate when I'm showing something to somebody and, like, I have to hold my phone. Like, fam, I'm showing this to you. Take my phone and just look at it, but just give that shit back. Like, where are you guys at with this record? Because I'm not fucking about to sit there for like the next like minute or so, just like fucking just holding up my phone so you can watch it. Like, ha 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 ha.
Which girl pissed you off today, man? Hey.
Oh my god, it's not a woman thing. Seriously, it just dawned on me. You know, just dealing with some of my coworkers and shit. You know, shoot the videos back and forth, pause about some shit that I might just geek. And then, you know, sometimes whenever, you know, I might show something that's going on Twitter or one of our pod topics. You know, I just pass off the phone. And like I said, like, you know, some people, they'll be hesitant. I got to kind of nudge them like, yo, here, like here, like, I, like, you're in my proximity. Like, I know you're not going to steal from me. Like, here, like, hold my phone. Like, I'm not your kickstand, nigga. Like, what's up?
I don't know, man. That's a little too trustworthy for me, man.
Yeah.
If it's like a 30-second to a minute long video, like, I don't mind being your personal tripod. You know what I'm saying? I'll just hold it for you. Now, if it's longer than that, I can just send you the video. Like, it's 2024. You'll get the notification instantly. Just check your TikTok. It's there. I promise you. But me giving you my phone, one, that's not very sanitary of you. Two, don't be clicking nothing. Don't be looking at no notifications that might come up on your screen.
You got to silence the notifications. I will say that you do have to sign before you pass off.
How are you going to silence your notifications while you're passing a phone over for a 30-second long video? Like,
quick little do not disturb mode. You know what I mean? But it is what it is.
At that point, you might as well just send them the video, my nigga.
You got it, sir, but I don't like anyone. I don't even like people hovering over my phone when I'm on my phone. So you are trustworthy to hand your phone off. I don't get that at all, because if you scroll too far, you click on anything like that, there's a lot of nasties in there. What you can see, like, I don't know if y'all ever been laid up in your girl's lap by accident and y'all about to DoorDash some shit then she's like, I'm like, what do you want? And she wants to take your phone. I'm like, oh
yeah.
Oh no! I stand next to her. Like, yo, I open the app and be like, "Here's the Uber Eats app," and I'm gonna stand right here. Can you hurry the fuck up,
please? I'll be sweating so quick.
Wait, no. So, Merle, so when you're in the car, and let's say it's you and your significant other, where's your phone at?
But I use my imagination for this. What's that?
Where's your phone at in this situation? Is your phone in the console? Is it in the cup holder?
Let's give it a bug. It's in my lap. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, well, I'm driving. It's in my lap. It's
not even in my lap. It's in my lap. It's in my hand on the steering wheel. It is not losing my sight.
In my hand while I'm driving is crazy. I can't do that. I'm sorry. But,
okay. You're trusting, though. I'm not. And maybe it's because I have something to hide. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, I got zero shit to hide. I still be holding my phone.
It's your personal computer in your hand, man. Like, think about that shit.
Look at my searches real quick.
It's true. Too trusting. Especially if I give you my phone, like, and they want to change the song, and then I got to give you my password, and then I'm like, oh, no. What are you going to
do? That's another question real quick before we get to, because we got heavy hitters. How many people know your password?
Just one.
Just one.
Well, yeah. If you're riding with anyone and you're a DJ, you're gonna know it for that hour in the car.
The day.
So, but you're probably gonna forget it. Yeah, you're probably gonna forget it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I would never do that to my boys anyway. So I ain't gonna do that shit.
To go through your boys' phone is mad sassy.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's weird.
That's so
it's
weird. I did not even know that much about you, dog. Like,
yeah, I don't care that much.
I'm not, if I just
know you're hiding layers behind, I just gotta be. I'm just that inquisitive that I just have to know, you know, your deeper inner thoughts. No,
but that's the difference between your boys and your ladies.
You know? I know. I'm just being dumb. Just being dumb. Sorry.
I'm just big into privacy for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll turn my head around.
Tumblr, go check your fucking Tumblr and something like some shit you forgot completely. Like, fuck though.
VPN stay on you always.
Okay, sorry, that's enough of the autistic corner. Back to you, good sir.
You can't call that.
Why not? I think I do have autism, but all right, fine. All right, never mind.
I think that term is too vague for people to just be labeling.
It's way too vague right now, bro. It's way too vague.
You guys know me, and y'all feel like it's spot on, right?
I don't even know what to call it.
Shit, somebody was talking about. Look, I was on Twitter, and they're like. Yeah, so if you have a favorite fork, you might have autism. I'm like, oh, I'd definitely be going for the small fork.
Yeah, look, I can tell by the detail, the design on it, how it have this nice little nick on that bitch. Like, I got a nice fork, knife.
But when I'm getting dinner for me and my girl, I'm like, what kind of fork you want? She's like, oh, give me a small one. So I'm like, what does that
my
mean?
Fucking fork.
That's so confusing. You mean fork A? Like what?
Fork A?
That's crazy,
I got a favorite cup, a favorite glass, and I just always use the exact same one. Even when I get some over here for the shot glasses, I'm like, whenever your niggas take the Superman shot glass, I'm like, so y'all know damn well it's mine.
Put your stamp on it. There you go. I'm about to say.
That's like back in high school when you would have the and be like, no assigned seats. But then everybody would have an assigned seat. I'm like, no, nigga, this is my seat. The fuck is you talking about? You better not sit in my shit.
Yeah.
Where was your spot in the classroom? In the back?
In the back. Always.
Okay.
Until they made me sit in the front.
That's a fact. I was about to say, there were times I had to thug it in the front. Pause.
They were like, nah, nigga, you need to come to the front, dog.
I'm in the front.
I was by the window because I'm a real like anime main character. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh God!
Looking out the window, nigga.
Question: my life is better than this. I know I'm special.
This nigga's in a coming of age movie. There's more to life than this. These four walls.
It's all good. College is gonna be better than this. I know for sure.
I can't wait till I get to adult drive.
No one understands me here.
Those are the best years of your life.
Pretty much, son. Fucking much, bro. You threw the whole conversation off. Abdul, please.
Thank you. That's what I do.
Our nonsense of the week, man.
Yeah, man. So this past week, actually, we had Jess Hilarious, as you guys know, is a comedian, and you've probably seen her mainly on Wild and Out. But she announced, I think, at a party that she would be the third mainstay co-host of the Breakfast Club. Now, what's weird is that this past week we saw Charlamagne and Envy pretty much complain about iHeart and what they're doing and like how they're kind of complaining about talking about like media and rumors and everything like that and how they don't want to do that. They were kind of saying why do we have to go through all these interchangeable hosts? Wasn't the goal of this to kind of land on somebody that we can actually have as a third, like, you know, a C mic or whatever it is? And now we're kind of left with, why did Jess Hilarious announce that she's going to be the permanent mic, and then Charlamagne and Envy come back to the show and say, so we're kind of frustrated with, you know, iHeart for not adding her? I don't know the reason per se, but I just want to know, one, what y'all think about Jess Hilarious. Personally, I'm not a big fan of her. I never really found her funny, but I did think that she bounced well off of DJ Envy and Charlamagne. So I want to lie to y'all.
I'm not going to lie. I really don't know much about Shorty like that either. I know she was on Wildin' Out. I know that she was, she had dealt with Country Wayne for a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was his significant other, just, you know, hooking up. I think she has a kid by him as well, too. I don't know.
Is she funny? Is she funny?
Roy, you said you wanted to next.
Her name is Hilarious, right? Just Hilarious. I mean, like, from, it's in the name, but like, I mean, from the last few years, I mean, she's been pretty funny to me. I haven't watched her on The Breakfast Club, but I have heard that she is the best, you know, mm-hmm. guest host that they've had recently. But to me, this sounds like Joe Budden was right. You know what I'm saying? And Charlamagne and Envy are employees. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know y'all have all been at your job and thought you can do something or control something, and your manager told you.
JDP, son.
Nah, bro. Slap your hand like, nah, you can't do that. You can't do that. Yeah. That's all that happened here. They thought they had a little bit more power than they thought that, you know, than they really have. Because there ain't no way you announce that this person has been selected as the co-host. Yeah. They have a whole party. They pop in bottles, got the whole section to say, oh, I'm the host. And now, you know, a week later, we're like, oh, they told us we can't do this. Like, yeah. That's insane. That's just...
That is weird. It's weird to, like, backtrack and make Charlamagne... I mean, at least Charlamagne and Envy didn't announce it themselves, but Jess Hilarious going out there and saying, I'm the third co-host. Like, I was kind of happy for her, right? And I will say this, I was definitely wrong in the sense that, like, I think maybe I underestimated Angela Yee's value on the show, because, like, say what you want about her, you might not have been your favorite host, but, like, she showed up to work, she kind of got everything done, she did deliver the rumor report, the messiness, and kind of did ease the tension when, like, some of those, like, high moments, like, peak moments of Breakfast Club happened and shit. So I will say that. And Charlamagne said that, where he's like, yeah, you can't really replace Angela Yee, she's not replaceable, but we just want another third co-host or whatever. So it does suck that, like, what was the point of rotating all them hosts? Like, I almost, for one, my brain was saying Charlamagne and Envy can kind of carry the show. But what it's looking like is, like, Envy obviously is being very much silenced with all of his, like, debacles that happened this year. And then Charlamagne, as we know, like, I think maybe since 2018, 19-ish, he's kind of been on a decline of, like, being very, very tame. But I don't know. And then the one, like, I'll give them some credit is, like, Breakfast Club was dominating for 10 plus years. I don't think they're trying to be the number one show anymore. Sure, Joe Budden might have been right about them being the, I don't know, like, you don't own this. I don't think anyone was debating that Charlamagne owned the Breakfast Club. We were kind of just saying, like,
I think Charlamagne debated that.
I mean, and it's not even just owning it. It's the fact that, like you said, they're mainstays. Like, this is, without y'all, there is no Breakfast Club. There will never be a Breakfast Club without Charlamagne and DJ Envy, especially without Charlamagne. So you should have, like, the most control over this, like, or at least have, like, a very big say in terms of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was that thing, I remember, around 2019 where Charlamagne was talking about how, like, he was about to leave or something, or there was a big thing about renegotiation and stuff. So, like, I don't know. Personally, I'll also say that I don't think Jess Hilarious is going to save the Breakfast Club. Like, even if she did get signed on, it's not like we were about to be checking for the new Breakfast Club interviews type of shit. Media landscape has changed. That shit is, like, Breakfast Club is a staple for its time. But, like, as far as, like, looking for a new rapper's rollout or something like that, we're not caring about their Hot 97, their LA Leakers, their Breakfast Club appearances. We're not really, like, we're just not checking for that no more. I think radio in itself has been outdated. Radio interviews have been outdated, but I don't know. I think they maybe they're cemented as far as their legacy, but I don't see them being like, I don't see them getting like a second or third win with Jess Hilarious either. So yeah.
I don't either. I don't even watch them now. So And I thought Envy was like going to jail. So how is he still even on?
All right, yo, hey, we're not doing that.
I mean,
jump right to it.
Yeah,
still like, open case. Still open case. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say I'm not gonna watch it either way. I don't know who she is. I know she's from Wildin' Out, but like just because you got a new like face on there doesn't mean like I'm about to watch Breakfast Club. I've never watched it before anyway. So.
I mean, the million-dollar question, you know, what, if not Justin, who? Are we looking, or, I mean, you know, ideally, would it be a man, or is it a woman? Are we still looking for that woman? Mm-hmm. Like, what, who do y'all think out there right now, you know, comedic value-wise, can join this club, you know, and, you know, bring it up to the, because, yeah, you know, at one point, this was the high pinnacle, and you know, they started depleting time over time. So is there somebody that y'all think off mind? They think, hey, yo, once they bring this on, they really take them to the next level, or
Tiffany
RIP for sure. Much?
I think probably Melissa Ford, yo. Honestly, Melissa Ford might make the best third co-host on The Breakfast Club. She might not get dogpiled on that show. She might actually survive a take or two. She might actually hold her thing down. That's what I think. I mean, I definitely think they need a female voice. I think a female comedian would be good, but yeah. I don't want to be that guy. I don't know many female comedians. I don't know really.
Why don't you?
I don't know really. I just don't. I don't know many women comedians.
Do y'all?
Tiffany Haddish.
You can't just do that. You can't take five and come back with heat. That's
young,
crazy.
Up and coming comedian, you know?
That is crazy.
She's about to be on a big tour.
Yeah. What about Bobby Altoff? Fucking add her on something. Add somebody. I just think, I mean, like I said, with Jess Hilarious, I don't think the third co-host is going to save it. So it almost sounds like they're complaining that, like, yo, we're struggling right now to maintain a mainstay in media because we don't have a third co-host. That may or may not be true. I just think Breakfast Club has kind of outlived itself. You know, 10 plus years dominating in media. You see these interviews with like Lil Yachty and Bobby Altoff or Funny Marco and everybody else. I don't really see them catching that like next train of relevancy again. So yeah.
That's fair.
Switching over to internet news. Merle, go ahead and introduce this topic for us.
Well. A little buzz going around. A little buzz, trying to figure out is Imani gonna be replacing anybody on JBP? There's been a lot of speculation. If you don't know Imani, he has been a frequent guest for the past, I would say, maybe about 3 months or so, you know. Started on, you know, a couple of Patreon episodes here and there. I smelled something in there when I saw him on a pod episode. I said, ooh, this is getting scary. I don't know. There's somebody, you know, somebody's going to get replaced soon. Possibly. I wouldn't want to see it, but hypothetically, how do you guys feel about that? Do you feel as though Imani is needed for the pod? Is there somebody that we can do without? Or hey, run a 7-man pod, which, mind you, sounds crazy as hell, but hey, they're already run Bionic 6. They're known for the Bionic 6. What's so mad about going one step further? More dialogue. No,
this latest episode, when they have like, Mac and the other girl on there. And I was like, I don't know how many people are on that fucking pod, but Imani and the other girl were sharing a mic. And I was like, Joe was like, y'all gotta shut the fuck up. Y'all are interrupting the fuck out of each other. Somebody gotta go. I don't know if we're gonna do that many people on one pod. If I had to pick, you know, it's kind of cold. So, no.
Kind of cold, big ice.
Kind of cold. Yeah. That was corny. That was my joke. I liked it. That was bad.
Somebody gotta be you, man. Just switch positions. Pause.
I think Imani's
appearance. How about that?
I think Imani's appearance is definitely like twofold. Like, I initially wasn't a fan of him when he was going at Danny from the Stop. Shout out to the boy. Like, I didn't really like his little threat to the camera, trying to call him out. Like, come on, son. Like, that looks weird. You kind of threatened the media guy or some shit. But now, overall, I think he navigates the combos really well. Like, he's kind of able to. He never dogpiles on Mel. That's pretty nice. He's able to kind of get in and get out where he can.
He does mansplain.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but like, in a sense, I think he does it. I think he articulates himself well. Like, he's well researched too. And I think the way he answered the pod maybe was where it kind of rubbed off wrong. But looking back at it, it's like he kind of said what a lot of like fans, maybe even on Reddit and Twitter and shit, were thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, he called out Ice for like not being too honest or like not really expounding upon takes or being like, you know what, never mind, like that whole thing that Ice does. And same with Ish, where he's like, you know, Ish and Flip, actually, he was kind of saying like, you guys do a lot of complaining for people that get compensated well and only work 2 days a week. Like, that was kind of a, you know, heavy entrance right there. I thought that was good on him, though. Like, he made a good argument and everything about it. But me personally, I like him. I think he's really good. I think, yeah, the mainstay pod could be, like, Ish, Joe, and Melissa Ford, and then, of course, Imani. Imani, however you say it.
Imani. First and foremost, naming Joe second on his podcast was crazy as hell, by the
way. Oh, Joe is still the most entertaining, period. Like, that's undeniable. Mm. I think Flip, they should definitely save him for Patreon. Same with Ice, too, because I don't think Ice is terrible, but I think at least Imani is willing to, like, share life stories and share experiences. He's kind of made music with Joe, been on tour with him, like, he kind of share more, like, is willing to offer more to the pod, I think, than Ice is, personally. No shot at Ice, personally, either. But
as you still shot. Well, first things first, I mean, so you don't feel or get a good chuckle when, you know, because Ice does come through with the one. He's, you know, I put him in the Parks realm with the one-liners, you know, with the, you know, coming through with the, you can't, that. You know, sometimes.
No,
I mean, I'm just saying. Like I said, there's some moments where, you know, Joe or it mainly Ish get out of line. You know, Newark boy stand up, and then, you know, he's just like, "Yo, hey, yo, you can't do that, bro. You can't say that." Like, sometimes you need those. It's, yeah. Is it like a lot of dialogue? No, but it's the Salt Bay thing. You know, just a
so
little,
so I don't need it then.
Yeah.
I didn't say that because, so, hey, as we all know,
Salt is essential to cook. Ice, don't you? Don't you?
Oh, oh shit! Are you calling me Ice? Oh shit!
I was gonna say it's an unnecessary addition to the dish, but I wouldn't say that to you. Sorry.
He wouldn't call you Ice. That's what he said.
I wouldn't call you Ice. I mean, me personally, I like Imani or Imani or however the fuck he pronounced it, because he himself said Imani the other day. I have no idea. He's really good on the pod. Very versatile. Like, he's able to, like you said, he's able to speak to the women topics. He's able to speak to, somehow he's able to keep up with Ish and Dr. Umar.
Which is crazy. Yeah, really well.
That was first and foremost,
you're the second one to name him speaking with the women topic. So are we just not going to look over that Imani's like pandering on a lot of those things?
I'm not going to say, you call yourself a fan, but you don't watch the spaces. You don't listen to the spaces.
I don't.
Yeah, listen to the spaces. You would have actually got more insight to his personality and know that he actually likes to talk to women. That's who he hangs out with.
Oh, so you a stan?
My stan.
Don't think about it. Only works in two
ways. I didn't listen to the Patreon. I don't listen to every single Patreon. Nah, I fuck with them heavy, but at the end of the day, this is still a business opportunity that I'm trying to capitalize on. So, you know what I'm saying? I see both lenses. But anyways,
seeing both lenses is my bag, sir. You have to choose one lane. I'm sorry. You got to choose. I'm the end.
Wait, so what? are we trying to go into, like, should Imani replace, say, Ice or Queens Flip? Because we know, like, there's a bunch of drama with Queens Flip in the past week. Or are we just saying, like, we want to just appreciate him for, you know, what he does?
We could do part one, and we do part 1A, part 2B, like I said. All so right, do you not like him ways. See, told you. Now, if anybody me. So I mean, all right, let me just throw this out there real quick. So do you like Imani on the pod? Let's get that straight. How's everybody feeling about it? Is it solid vibes? Is it no?
Yeah,
he's a great ass addition.
Okay.
Now two, does he need to replace somebody?
Yeah, not... I think the pod needs to evolve this year. I think it's time.
I think he said that quick as hell.
Yeah, I think Joe is like well aware of like how he creates narratives to create drama, and he knows that's kind of what like pushes out the pod to be talked about. But he also is conscious that like that is going to create some type of like work fatigue for everybody. I think he kind of knows that, like, you know, bro, no one's going to want to show up to work to debate every day. No one's going to, not even every day, even though it's 2 days a week. It's probably like they do their two days of recording and record their Patreons that same day. It can be a lot. And he said it on the mainstay pods. He's like, look, I want to give everyone a break. If you don't want to show up, you don't got to show up to every episode. So I think it is maybe time to like, I think Imani's very self-aware as far as, like, I don't want to be a mainstay pod. I don't want to replace anybody. He said that in the spaces, too, where he's like, I know y'all appreciate me now, but maybe later down the line, you know, there might be moments where y'all ain't really fucking with me anymore either. And I get that. I think that at least tells me that, like, he's very, like, he's very audience-facing. Yeah, aware. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm not really trying to shit on Ice, but it really is comes off as, like, Imani, I think, has more to offer to the conversation. And two, Ish, I mean, Ice does this thing where, like, he always says, like, I don't care what the audience has to offer. And then Flip will always say, like, Flip will almost overestimate his value as far as, like, I bring XYZ, which he does. He does bring value to the pod. Okay. But you have to constantly say that. Like, the boss, Joe, and all them are going to look at you, and especially when someone like Imani is shining, it kind of shows where your weaknesses are. Like, Flip isn't going to be talking to the relationship topics. Flip isn't going to really talk about music. Flip isn't really going to be able to debate or even add to the convo with Dr. Umar. And Joe called him out, like, yo, you on your phone on the pod. Like, there's a lot of, like, realms where the other castmates won't shine, where Imani kind of, like, checks off on all boxes. My personal thing, not to be the fanboy or whatever of him, whatever. Oh, I just appreciate him. But I definitely appreciate him being the one pod member to kind of stick up for Melissa, because it's kind of like, it's just unbearable sometimes to, like, listen to this shit. I almost feel like Joe does this thing where he knows the audience is going to hate him dogpiling on her, but he'll do it for the sake of being talked about or whatever you want to call it. I like that Imani kind of keeps it honest. I'm not going to lie, there were some moments even in this, like, this, what was that latest Patreon episode with Mac?
Yeah, there you go. Talk about it.
Like, no, like, I want to defend you. And, like, it was a little weird, but again, he's the only one that's kind of, like, I think objective. Everyone else is like, whatever Joe says, we roll it. But yeah.
I don't even know if it's objective, is more like subjective, because he said on the spaces, like, he's like, I don't agree with everything she says, but I also know what good potting is, and this isn't good potting. Like, it's the same shit that we talk about with our, like, complaints about Mel. It's like, she doesn't completely stand up for herself, or when she does stand up for herself, she's still not, like, 10 toes down, like, super strong in her opinion, just, you know, screaming at people. You know what I'm saying? She's, like, kind of reserved about it. And she said recently, she doesn't really like that about herself. So hopefully, and she's been doing really good lately, so hopefully she continues on that path. But Iman is essentially, like I said, he's looking at it as a fan and realizing, okay, this is where she needs some help. Like, it can't be 5 versus 1. Like, it's going to look bad. But if I step up here and actually mansplain her take, you know what I'm saying, it'll get through to these people a little bit better. So I respect it.
It's needed. And sorry, no shot to Ice. No shot to Ice.
As again, you keep throwing shots. Right? You're not throwing shots as you keep constantly throwing shots. But go ahead.
Stop fangirling for Ice, man. We get it. We know you're an Ice fan.
You were fan. You were saying, like, Imani checks all these boxes, and you're just like saying, like, yo, Flip can't talk to this, can't talk to that. What can that man talk to then? Why not just get him out of here?
A dynamic character. I think Joe admitted it in one of the spaces where he was like, when I was just potting with Ish and Ice, they know me as their friend. They don't really know me as making content. And Flip is the one that introduced that whole live aspect of, like, what was it? Improper FOV. Improv and things like that. Like, he is a creative. And to Flip at the start of the year, like, kind of added to the drama, which kind of pushed the show out. Like, I don't know if y'all remember, but when Ice and Ish were on there, I was skipping mad episodes personally. I don't know about you guys. Like, I wasn't checking every episode. There was, like, a couple where, like, Surf or someone would be on there. I'm like, oh, this is dope. Like, I liked some episodes, but I wasn't checking for everything. When Melissa Ford and Flip joined, and Flip was calling out people for, like, I'm getting paid this amount, where he was willing to argue with Joe, he was willing to argue with Ish and Ice, and, like, have these, like, big moments and shit. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but, like, being able to kind of create a conversation, I think, is literally the content that Joe knows.
He's just like, say you like the messiness. You did all this articulate way of just saying I like mess. That's all you could just say.
I mean, yeah, you do. Too. You pretend to act like, oh, you like mess. What do you think Joe Budden podcast is? You think it's You think this is the National Geographic? Like, what do you think this shit is?
The number one urban drama. Podcast.
It's literally drama, and half of their news is them selling. The most recent thing that went viral from Joe Budden was him shitting on Ari Lennox. What do you think they be selling up there? It's literally nothing but narratives in itself, and it works. I'm not complaining on it, but let's not call a spade a spade. So, yeah.
Okay. Nissan, how you feel, nigga? Let me say shit.
Keep leaving me hanging like this.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave you hanging on that one.
I'd be good if Imani replaces Ice. I like Imani son. He was holding his own with Dr. Umar and Ish, and I was expecting that Dr. Umar interview just be like an Ish and Dr. Umar just straight going at it, but Imani chimed in, and it wasn't just chiming in just for the sake of saying something. He actually had something to say. No one else did, so shout out to him.
Even Joe was quiet, low-key.
Yeah, and Monty wasn't. He was the only one like actually like talking and holding his own. So shout out to him. I would love to have him as like a main person. He's always entertaining.
Yeah. If not,
his music's pretty good too. If you guys get a
chance, never heard
check
a
it out.
Single song. So.
There's no reason to lie. Yeah.
Well, no.
We can respect him as a musician, but we don't have to lie.
First and foremost, like I said, I will put up one of his songs in the chat. Belongs to you. Joe played that joint.
How about this? If niggas think Joe Budden's music is ass, and then Imani's his disciple. Then what the fuck does that make him?
That was crazy. Now, here's the thing. Joe might not get the praise for his music per se, but he does get praise for his ear for music. Can we agree upon that?
I'll agree with you. Yeah, that is true. He has a good ear for R&B and stuff.
All right, there we go.
Yeah. Only be known for the mood music series that I never heard in my life.
Hey, first of all, some of them just as hard. I ain't gonna hold you.
And has very bad mixing as well. Shout out to Parks.
All Love Lost.
Yeah.
Watch your mouth.
Crazy.
Nah, but yeah, belongs to you. Check it out, Imani. Just quick under the bridge right there.
Is that that song where he's saying like she young but she ready? Isn't that that song?
No. He lost me with that one. I was good on that. When they talked about that, I was like,
"Stay 10 times, Merle."
Belongs to you. I mean, hey, belongs to you. It's a strip club joint. Cuz getting his shit off talking to like a stripper and it's on fire. Like I said,
talking to you like you're a stripper.
She young, but she ready.
I mean, I could be the stripper, but I mean, he is. I think talking to a woman. But that's just me.
I don't know. You didn't want to try to wear a sundress and shit.
Okay. I mean, well, now that Dooley's here, what type of dress are you?
I'm not doing that again.
No? First of all, I want to get answers for you, fuck nigga, because you just going to have us looking crazy without you giving out an answer whatsoever.
I didn't have to give an answer. I asked you a question. I didn't say, let me partake in this. I asked you a question.
I see you in a Sailor Scout. You know what I mean? Skirt.
He put me in a skirt.
You want your legs to show. I know. It's all right. No,
that's why.
Dooley? I don't know.
I'm a sorry guy, man. I'm going to show my.
Nah,
you
a skin tight. You want everything
belly.
To show. You're a real slore. And,
dress type? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. But I made it now. All right, my ball.
Now I'm picturing I'm doing a dress. All right. Speaking of men that wear dresses, Kid Cudi, Roy, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Kid Cudi.
Oh, yeah.
Easy layup,
right. So Kid Cudi just dropped his latest album. It's called Insano. This is an album that he has been supposed to drop for like the last 2 or 3 years or some shit. But he finally dropped it. I did a quick run through, and it is very mid. Say the least.
Oh shit.
And to me personally, this is just continuing on the run of Kid Cudi's like ever going like cycle of midness. And like I know what you're thinking, right? You're just hating. But I'll have you know, I'm just like everybody else, you know. Kid Cudi saved my life too, guys. You know? I was big on him in high school. I listened to the mixtape too. I wish it came on streaming.
Not the cliche line, yo, Cudi saved my life.
Because you're not about to pull that. Don't even think about pulling
no
that
one,
shit.
No
I need you to
that.
Remove
you sound like
that
every
from your brain. I need you to remove that from your brain, remove this nostalgia, and let's just talk about the music objectively.
Oh, so you were a young teenager going through things then. Okay, cool.
Hell yeah. We were all there, man.
Look
at Dooley. He did not like
nah,
that.
We're all trying to find ourselves in 2008. I remember it, bro.
I think you can. You need to, like, you sound like one. You sound like every single Kid Cudi hater says the same thing, where they're just like, "Yo, I mean, I liked him in Man on the Moon 1 and 2, but after that, he felt."
No. I didn't even finish. Like, I like.
Yeah, look at. So, hey, stop trying to.
I like Wizard. I like. Can see ghosts. Like I said, it's up and down, up and down. You know what I'm saying? And Insano, we right here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh shit! We're right here.
That's not true.
I was fully gonna be on Abdul's side, but like, I like this album, but it ain't Man in the Moon 3, and it damn sure ain't fucking Passion, Pain, and Demon Slaying. So
I don't think it's either of those albums either. And I prefer melodic Cudi over like rapping Cudi, but I don't complain about rapping Cudi personally at all. Like, I really enjoyed this shit. This was a DJ Drama thing, but I definitely think there's this large swath of people like Roy that, like, if you made a chart of people that criticize Kid Cudi and who digest Kid Cudi's music, I guarantee you they don't overlap, because the people that really digest his music ain't really shitting on him the way y'all are, where it's saying, oh, he's mid-Cudi or some shit like that. Like, that shit is weird. One, he is the epitome of creativity. I think not all your albums are supposed to sound the same. Like, Man on the Moon 1, 2, and 3, Wizard, and Passion Pain, and Indicut, all that shit sounds different. None of them have been bad. The only one that was bad, I'll admit, was Speeding Bullet, that kind of plummeted, where it's like, all right, you fucked up. That's it.
Nah,
that's
nigga, it. Satellite Flight ass. Shut up.
Satellite Flight, I bought that shit. I love that album.
Nigga, that's crazy. That's insane.
Great project.
I didn't need that Star Wars instrumental. I like that shit.
I like that. A lot of the things that people complain about Kid Cudi for humming and shit like that, and now he's not humming, he's just rapping almost the whole album. It's like, y'all are always going to pick me.
Cudi made him froze him.
I was saying that the same things that y'all complain about is literally what he's always gonna do the opposite of. A lot of people always come out of him humming, but then he's rapping over this whole album. So like, I never understand
he's
like
not
what
rapping over this whole album though. Like, it's he's singing on there. It's a lot of melodies. Like the songs I went through like the top five like most popular songs, right?
And Roy, like, wait. Before you go, Roy, you said you listened to this album in 5 minutes. It's 23 tracks. You didn't listen to the album.
It was actually 20 minutes.
That's proving my point.
It was actually 20 minutes. I gave it a good shot. Like I said, look, bro, this was my favorite artist for a very long time. Favorite artist. Nah, this ain't like just strictly hate. This is coming from a good place. Like I said, he saved my life too. Like, I was there. Those lyrics meant something to me. And for me personally, it's kind of sad to see one of your favorite artists go through, but this is what happens to a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you either sit back and only drop heat and drop a project every 4 or 5 years, or, you know what I'm saying, you slowly fall off. And this is a basketball analogy. I know y'all niggas don't like, you know, watching sports and shit, but it's like your favorite, watch your mouth. It's like Blake Griffin. You know what I'm saying? He used to be banging on niggas in 2010. And then last year he's trying to set screens and shoot threes. It's crazy, but that's what happens. Niggas fall off. They fall off.
Yeah, they're not even.
Now. And that Blake Griffin, do you fall off? And I guess I can follow on the cut. Do you fall off, or do you adjust to the time and sound of what's going on currently? And where,
bro, he's not adjusting to the sound. And if he was adjusting, I mean, he did adjust a little bit on the last project for sure.
There you go.
What's the last one on here?
Wasn't that the movie?
The one.
Yeah,
the one that he had that with a Pop Smoke, but like, I'm talking about like this new album, it's its own sound, but like the songs sound repetitive. Like the hooks are repetitive.
I don't agree with half of the melodies.
And DJ Drama ain't saving you.
Oh my God.
DJ Drama's not going to save Kid. No one would need to save Kid Cudi. Kid Cudi is going to innovate in every album. He's not going to adjust to the sound that's happening. He's not trying to. And like, when he does try to get on a song with Pop Smoke, that's going to sound cringy to me, if anything. I think you're supposed to redefine your sound. And two, to compare an artist to their first project every, like, that comes out, I don't even think there's literally no artist that stays that relevant, that good. Like,
I'm not comparing him to his first project, because I don't compare Kanye to his first project.
And that's one artist out of 100 million, and Kanye is definitely declined too.
Yeah, he's declined, but I still be like, all right, I fuck with some of these tracks. But like, I'm saying
you're still innovating, you're still making creative music. Like, there's songs on here that I'm repeatedly playing. Like, That's why I don't get, you can't give me a review of or an analysis of an album that you listen to in 5 minutes that's 23 songs. Like, you're almost minutes. Looking to skim through it. Like, yo, give me this quick ass dopamine rush and make sure this shit hits me. Make sure this is a hit. And if shit ain't Man on the Moon 1 or 2, then it's trash. And let me just say that he's falling off. What a lot of people are doing.
There's a lot of people doing that. And I'll say this, because this is also what happened to me. I only follow so many people on Twitter, and Kid Cudi was one of those people I was following. So, best believe all last year, I was getting all of this niggas' annoying ass tweets all year. And him retweeting and liking his fans, pumping his shit up, even when it was trashed. Like, I forget, what single was it? What was his first single that nobody liked?
What, you want the horns?
At the party? That was a great song.
I love that, John.
With Travis Scott, that was a great song. See, this is what I'm saying.
If it was a great song, because that's the thing, is you're being funny, because if it was a great song, then the album would have came out soon afterwards. But it
No, you're talking about Porsche Topless. That was the first single.
Time out. Porsche Topless. I didn't like that one. But he dropped two singles. He dropped that and At the Party. And two, this joint was not in talks for 3 years. This shit was announced like last year and then dropped this year. Like, this wasn't like some long, this isn't Kanye West that's going to delay his album 10,000 times for you guys and then secretly release it. All right. This is Kid Cudi. And Kid Cudi is the same one that's inspired and made his own sound every step of the way. I think a lot of times people fall onto his sound later, just like Kanye. I think if you look at a lot of the things he did, especially at his start, there's no denying what he's delivering with this project. I don't think this is like one of my favorite projects, but I think it's asinine to fucking say that he's mid or fallen off in any type of way. I just think the people that OD criticizes music barely digest it. I think you are still
favorite song off the track.
What was it? Torture. Best song. I've been putting that shit in the chat with DeAndre all the time. That's one of my favorite songs on this project. Keep talking. Right now.
Let me dive into this real quick.
At the party was look at Merle live review
I like this album, but I don't think it's my favorite one, and I don't think he's necessarily gone down, because I love Intergalactic. I thought that was a fire ass album. Roy hated the movie too.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Intergalactic was amazing. I think honestly Kid Cudi is having a resurgence, if anything. Like, as I'll give you a that. Fan, also Kid Cudi, I
cannot give you that at all.
No,
resurgence is definitely coming. Son, because off with that Speeding Bullet to Heaven shit, and then he kept coming back up with like Passion, Pain, and Demon Slaying. Then he dropped Man in Moon 3. Then he did a movie, did a fucking visual for the movie, and to get Insanos after getting Intergalactic is actually pretty impressive for Kid Cudi. I'm not gonna lie to you.
That's what I'm saying.
Years, hey, Roy. I listened to that little clip of the At the Party and that torture.
They sound like
that's what I'm saying.
They don't. Like, this is more trying to be funny. They don't.
They low key sound alike. I don't know if it's the 808, whatever drum pattern they're using.
What is going on?
I know it's gonna sound alike. It might have the same artist on both songs, because it's a Kid Cudi fucking album. Goddamn.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm saying he's so versatile. Like, he's such a innovative artist.
At the Party and Torture don't sound the same at all. Like, that is the worst take I've ever heard.
Also, I don't know if you're the guy. I'm looking at his catalog, and I have way too much evidence to say I'm wrong on this topic. But
you're right. You have way too much evidence to say you're wrong. You're exactly right. You said that correctly. You have evidence to say you're wrong. Like, you should have said it the other way, but you have a lot of evidence to say you're wrong. The only thing I was going to say was, like, with his resurgence of him falling off before to now be innovating and pivoting into movies and TV shows and things like that, like, if you were a fan of him, you almost wanted Kid Cudi to be more and more visible. So when he does pop out with the project and, like, you weird fucking rap nerds that try to compare him to the album one or some shit like that, or say that he hums too much, like, shut the fuck up with that.
Don't compare him to album one, and I like hums. I like melodies. I don't like lazy melodies. I like good melodies. I like bridges in my music. I don't like three choruses and two verses. Like, nah, bro.
You don't break down the structure.
Because he thinks I'm stupid. I'm like, all right, bro.
I think you can't give a fucking movie review by watching a trailer. I think you can't give a fucking video game review by playing the demo. That's what you did.
But I'm saying you're acting like this isn't the streaming era, right? So you need to capture someone's attention pretty fucking soon. Otherwise, your album's going to come and go. That's just all how right. it is.
Let me.
That's why 21's dropping a fucking movie with his album.
And that shit looked like dog shit. Please don't make that the comparison.
It's hilarious. It's a satire.
So when Teddy dropped the movie with Intergalactic, did you not like that?
Yeah, don't let him. Don't even lob him.
I don't like movie albums.
Easy dunk right there.
He's gonna watch 21 Savage. Are you gonna watch that
movie? It's an album movie.
No,
that's a way. Yeah, that's a different.
Right? Don't let him say
it's
that.
It's a difference.
You got too much. Well, knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
He's getting shit off. We were all surprised the Black Panther soundtrack was so fucking good because it's a movie album. Like
no, but Intergalactic was a product in itself as a movie and a project. Yeah. Like it was a one. It was a cohesive project in one. Whereas you're just adding a soundtrack for a movie. The movie, which is going to be garbage, and that album, which was also mid. But let me just shift this to something else. Out of Kid Cudi's class, like when did he technically leave? 2009, 2010,
like 2008, dog. Like I said, I know my shit.
What I'm saying is like out of his peers, out of the artists that released in his peer group, like a Mac Miller or somebody else, or like an ASAP or somebody, like out of everybody, I'm gonna really be honest, who really fell off? Honestly, out of all of them, like I feel like if anything, Kid Cudi had the saving flag out of his group since 2009 to still be relevant, to still be putting out a good album. I'm not saying this is better than fucking Intergalactic or Man on the Moon 3. I'm saying this is a good album, and it's goofy to say that it's mid or called.
I'm gonna say Man on the Moon 3 is a good album. But...
Man on the Moon 3, yeah, this is an okay album. I would say this is okay album. It's okay. I'm gonna still play it.
You sitting here and saying 21 Savage album was good is crazy. If you think Savage this is album bad was or good. Man
what
the
fuck?
Bad, it's
good.
21 on fire. You watch your fucking mouth, boy.
Like
watch your mouth, boy.
His bars are on point. Like the music sounds expensive. The sample sound expensive, dog.
How about you go back
the
to your
songs have breakdown. There's literally a switch up, a beat switch up that goes from like an R&B instrumental into a trap instrumental, so he can do his own thing on different songs and shit, bro. You can't.
Change the beat. You told the producer to change the beat.
Songs, 53 minutes. I actually got through that one because it's concise.
Did he also put titles on his tracks? Like, what else did he do?
Man, don't
do that. Watch your mouth. Don't do that. Watch your mouth.
Did he also
because the last song Kid Cudi had a narrator on his album was fucking Man on the Moon.
If you want to even make a remote take of any song sounding the same and just say 21 Savage album was fire, all them songs sound the same. What the fuck
that's
are you talking
the
about?
The flow. That's because you think the flow sounds the same. That's up to you. That's your untrained ears. That's up to you. I hear the difference. I can hear the difference when he sounded like when he's doing a melodic thing, he sounded like Drake. When he's doing an R&B thing, he has Summer Walker on the song. When he's doing his own trap thing, when he has Metro Boomin on the song. Like,
he's good at copying other people's styles. He's not original like
you said. Right? It's crazy. You're literally the one talking about classes. My man's from 2016.
You just said it, dog. You said it. I didn't say that. You just said he sounds like Drake when he's trying to be melodic. He sounds like SZA.
I'm saying
no one sounds like SZA. Shut the fuck up.
No one sounds
like this nigga. That's out of all names. That's the one he jumped out there for.
You can die on the hill, that dude. It's okay.
No, I'm not done with this. Cut film forever, yo.
I'm gonna listen to this album. Like I said, I know we're joking about it, but I'm gonna check it out, see what's up with this joint. I'm just never a hardcore like Cudi fan, like, you know, amongst the crowd.
I was a hardcore Cudi fan. And even like the Porsche Topless song, I was like, oh, I kinda like this vibe, but it's like probably like a damn near 4 minute song. Like it's too long. Like,
I didn't like that song personally.
Cudi didn't save my life, so that's why I didn't divulge too much. I was into niggas like Gucci Mane and shit like that around the time.
Did you even smoke weed before?
Did you even smoke weed? Did you ever even like prep in your life?
Have you went to the moon?
Do you understand day and night? Like, come on. That concept.
It's crazy. We get him, bro. You don't do drugs. Good for you, man. All right, cool.
Stay above the influence.
Dude, fucking square.
Fucking square.
Oh, my God.
Where are we at next? Yes.
Moving on to gaming news. It is a new year, which means new games is coming out. Last year was fucking stacked with shit, and this year is no different. So I want to hear from the people who actually play games. what are y'all excited to play this year? Abdul, I know you're dick hard to fucking play Last of Us for the 15th time, so you don't gotta say that. You don't gotta say that fucking game again. What's something else that you are excited to fucking play this year besides the same game again with better graphics?
Well, let me just clarify. Last of Us 2, I beat once, I was in too much pain to beat it a second time. So I'm good. I'm excited to replay it this Friday. Obviously, I'm excited as a PlayStation fan. We got what do we have? We have Final Fantasy VII, The Rebirth, coming out in February or something. We have Tekken 8 coming out this month as well. Two games I'm really excited for was Rise of the Ronin. That's supposed to be releasing next month, which is like
kind
of
like Tenku, right?
Like a Ninja Theory game. Yeah, PS5 exclusive. And then Stellar Blade, which is kind of like Devil May Cry-ish or whatever. They're all single player games. And then I think the other, what was it? Silent Hill 2 was announced. I don't know if that's coming out. Wolverine is also announced, and we saw the leaks that happened. And then the last game, I know I'm rambling, is just, we talked about it already, but that Phantom Blade Zero, that's also supposed to come out this year. So 2024 is looking pretty back.
Is this ideally going to probably be the last Tekken for a while? Because with that Eddie, which we'll mention, a little bit later, I saw that they said, winter, fall, summer release. And I'm just like, how arrogant are you guys to fucking, one, this game was supposed to drop out last year. Two, it's going to, if I'm not mistaken, it's coming out
next week.
This month, so you're coming out in the top of the year. I mean, maybe I don't know, it's because they already showed every fucking character that's in there, but I mean, like, where do you get off doing this shit? Am I alone? Like,
what do you mean?
You're alone.
What do you mean? I'm alone. What is your question? I don't understand it.
Yeah, where the fuck you get off just doing these, spreading out these DLC characters, dude? I'm not waiting to, like, are you really going to be holding on to Tekken all fucking year?
That was goofy, because they did take out a lot of, like, mainstay characters, Like, they took out, like, Lei, and I think a couple other, like, Raven or someone else, like, and Tekken 7 took Raven released out? Tekken 7 released in, like, 2016, and now Tekken 8 is coming out 2024. Like, it was that's almost 10 years or whatever later they're releasing a new game. But I assume, it's going to last a long time because people are still on Tekken 7.
Yeah, I played that Tekken 8 demo, and that shit's actually, like, really fire. Like, I really don't play fighting games like that, but that shit was really good. I got the extra bread, I might cop it, but I don't know.
If I got the extra
bread. DeAndre took me to that arcade bar here, that cider bar. We played Tekken. We played all them fighting games there.
Yeah.
That shit was fun.
There's a lot of heat dropping. Like, yesterday, the Prince of Persia game dropped. I had, like, literally no interest in that game, and that shit looks fucking fun. It was like a little
wasn't that my nigga that could rewind time and shit?
That's
side scroller, yeah.
This not the same person. This is a different person. This is a black guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the prince, but that game's coming out.
They took that power out, by the way, for this game, which is stupid.
Really?
Yeah, that's not in there.
That's weak. I'm sorry.
There's a game that I've been telling Roy about, Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. It's a very nerd-ass game, very anime-esque fucking nerd game, but I can't wait for that shit. I've been following this shit for like 2 years, son. I'm super here for it. I've watched all the YouTube videos about this shit. Mm-hmm. I played the demo, played the fuck out of it. Might get divorced playing this shit, son. It's gonna take us some time.
I'm about to pull that PS5, bring it down here, and download that bitch tonight. Read it up on there. Besides that one, though, Dragon's Dogma 2,
baby.
Another Japanese RPG like game. You know what I'm saying? Hop on, Abdul. It's
fun.
You need to hop in this genre. It's crazy because you play
these
Final Fantasy.
If you play a single player game in general that has RPG elements, you're damn near in.
Pretty much, yeah.
You play Horizon, like you play fucking God of War. Like, there's parts of that are in, especially in Dragon's Dogma. Dragon's Dogma is like, it's a single player game. It's the weirdest thing. The system is because, like, you the multiplayer aspect comes from, like, your friends or different people that are playing a game. You can have them join your party, but it's like their AI version of their character in your party.
And that's kind of cool. That is cool. I think my hesitation with games like that is, like, they're not as narrative focused. Like, the games you mentioned that I play, like Horizon or God of War, those are much more narrative, cutscene focused. Like, it's literally kind of like a cinematic game you're playing.
I promise you, these is fucking anime games. Like, that fucking Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, son, that story is so, that was a fighting game. Like all the characters are in that game belong to a fighting game, and they're now just creating a action RPG with all of those characters. That story is going to be fucking amazing. Like it's going to be a great ass story.
I'll give them a shot. I've heard of Dragon's Dogma. It's just like that other game that got Game of the Year. I don't even want to say its name anymore.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, it's actually more akin to like Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like Elden Ring than a Baldur's Gate 3. So, but yeah, like if you give those shit a try, I'll try Elden Ring. It's not going to be as hard as Elden Ring. That's for fucking sure. But it is a hard game, though. It's not easy.
One game I also been looking at for like going for years for is this fucking Black Myth Wukong, like the Journey to the West story. Like you know what I'm talking about? Mm-mm, it's like literally the story that brought Dragon Ball Z to life. Goku the monkey. No, well this Wukong, game has been. Y'all don't know
about Wukong? Jesus Christ!
Yeah,
I think I saw been... it's got Dragon Ball Z. I know. Yeah, my bad. I know we keep jumping off. Is that the joint with the Dragon Ball Z animation style?
No.
Okay, never mind. That was a game I saw. I don't know what it was. I don't know. All right, never mind. I'm sorry.
No, this game's been in development, and no one thought it was real because we just saw like tech demo footage of it. But it's coming out this year in August 2024, and it looks fucking amazing. Can we play that? And I know IGN just did a review, and like this game's been getting a lot of like fucking flack, but I'm still gonna buy Justice League: Kill the Suicide Squad. I know Abdul's still gonna buy it too.
Really? I'm gonna wait for you to play it, and I'm gonna wait it's probably going on sale. I don't know if I'm gonna get it immediately because I just think I have Tekken 8. I'm definitely getting Last of Us 2, but that's gonna be kind of cheap. And then I'm getting Rise of the Ronin. Those are three games within the first 2 months of 2024 that I'm like I have to.
Oh
buy.
Yeah, right. Rise of the Ronin drops at the end of January too, right?
Yeah, I think February. I want to say it was like February.
I don't have any money, son. Because Final Fantasy also drops in February, son.
And I mean, like I said earlier, like you saw the Insomniac leaks of what's already happening with Wolverine. That game is announced for 2024, and so was Phantom Blade Zero, but there's no set release date. It just said 2024. I mean, I'd imagine they get pushed off later, but if they do release this year, that's a obviously day one purchase. So
did you guys are making a Tomb Raider 1-3 remastered? I might have to buy that also.
You don't need that, dude. It's gonna be bad.
Shut up.
I don't know if you. I have Tomb Raider 1 on PS1.
I have all of them.
It's really bad.
No, those are good.
It's really bad.
Nah, those are good games. Those are fun. The second really Tomb Raider is probably my favorite one. That's just actually really fucking fun. That was a really good game.
You have to like shoot spiders and press back to like step back.
Sir,
and, like,
you're fighting spiders for big robotic shit. Fucking saber-toothed tigers in that one game. Shut up.
Yeah. That's awesome, shit. Though. I'm saying the gameplay is so old. It's too old to, like, enjoy. Like, I think we have this weird thing of nostalgia where you just want to keep fucking playing old games, but, like, there's a limit to how old you want
to
play games.
Are you trying to play Silent Hill 2?
Silent Hill 2 is an actual remake. Silent Hill 2 is a horror game, though, too. Like, those elements aren't really, like, hard to change, whereas, like, a third-person shooter, those games have changed vastly since, like, PS1 era. Come on.
I like my shit basic. Sorry. Dang.
I don't know. Just too much. Go play the old Final Fantasy 7 again. Go
the
play
the turn-based
game?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long ass game. That's a long ass game to play. I don't think you know what you're asking. I don't think you understand what you're asking me to go do.
Yeah.
I don't think you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's too much.
Merle, man, you know, excited to play to turn your PS5 on, man? I know it's collecting dust over there.
It's most definitely getting kind of dusty. I'm not gonna lie, you know, everybody in their RPG bag, you know, one game in particular that has me just, you know, locked in. You know, I talked to you about it and you kind of stepped on it, but you know, fuck you. One Piece Pirate Warrior.
You
said what?
Jujutsu Kaisen?
Is that like the Dynasty Warrior type shit?
Jesus, man.
With the One Piece joint?
Yeah. Just lie. That's a lie.
Yeah. No, it's not like that. It's something totally different. Like I said,
you know what Dynasty Warriors is?
Nah, I was frozen. I didn't feel like you answered Dynasty Warriors. I was about to be like,
I was like, it's exactly like Dynasty Warriors looking.
Oh, you know, like, punch him, like 100 people. You just like fight 100 people at a time and just keep fighting more people and. Just keep
Watch your mouth. I don't like the tone when you're doing right now.
You get to the check part of the stage and then you keep fighting more people and then more people.
And I only got like a limit of like only like four special moves I can use. Yo, watch your mouth. I
haven't played them shits in literally like 15 years, dog. I still know exactly how them shits rock. Like,
PS2 games.
Yeah, PS2 days, literally. I got enough of that. No, just you just get the nigga with the giant sword shit, you know what I'm saying? And just, yeah, that's all you did. So, just swing that bitch around.
Jujutsu Kaisen game comes out next month.
No.
Is anybody checking in on that? Let's be real.
If it's on, if it's a demo, I'm gonna play it. And if it's on Game Pass, I'm definitely gonna play it.
I think Ubisoft is doing that, right?
No,
I don't think so.
God, no.
Really?
That'd be really weird. So. It has to be Bandai Namco. They're the ones that make all the fucking anime games.
But Ubisoft, didn't they handle a couple of the Naruto games too as well?
Not that I know of.
And I want to say also,
Ubisoft is hilarious.
Yeah, I was like,
y'all sure about that?
Merle ain't played games in a long time.
So Ubisoft made Assassin's Creed. I'm
about the same company that makes Far Cry. It's really
Naruto. Trying to spare you. I was like, Merle, stop. Are you sure it wasn't 2K Gaming that
made Yeah.
It wasn't EA Sports.
Okay, so I'm right, but I'm not helping myself because last game they did on Naruto was Rise of a Ninja and Broken Bond.
I don't know what that is.
So, like, never mind. We'll leave this topic.
GameCube games.
Nah.
What is that?
Nah, bro. Xbox 360. Watch your mouth. Next topic, though. But anyway.
Yeah. That was bad. Literally 9 games on my list on my map of Dubai. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So keeping it in the gaming news. So as Bro mentioned before, Eddie from Tekken 8 released today, I think, right? Or yesterday?
His trailer released. Yesterday,
like 2 days ago.
And so if you know who Eddie is, the Kabawara guy who has dreadlocks, long dreadlocks, they did a character redesign and they gave him the Black Standard, which is now just short dreadlocks with a shaved side. And the internet took notice saying like, hey, you know, we know what you guys are doing. You're giving everyone the standard black haircut. You did it for Miles. You did it for the new Prince of Persia. And you did it for old boy that was in that where was that one game that came out? Had a show. I didn't think of the name of it.
A show.
Yeah, League of Legends.
I would just say League of Legends. Oh, League of Legends, Apex.
Yeah.
Killmonger from Black Panther.
Killmonger.
Yeah, I started with Killmonger. The Killmonger cut. Let's call it that.
Killmonger cut. How do you guys feel about this being the new black standard for your black character instead of just
look.
The fade.
Abdul, sit on the side for this one, please.
No, I'm not gonna lie.
When I first saw Echo's design for League of Legends back in like 2014, you know, I was pretty psyched about the cut. I thought it looked cool. You know what I'm saying? But now we're in 2024 and this shit is everywhere. And like at this point, like you said, it has to be a joke that we're just not in on it, because, or just maybe there's no black people working at any of these studios, because somebody had to say something. Someone's got to say something by the time this could pass all these check marks. Can we just please change this hairstyle?
Can we say what it is? It's a safe nigga cut. What is it? These are the safe black people that you can approach.
It's not even the safe nigga cut. This is like the...
Don't say nigger.
I didn't say nigger. I did not say that. I think this is what black people think is cool cut. You know what I'm saying? This makes character look like he's not about it, but like, you know what I'm saying?
Niggas with this cut have a majority of white people as their friends. Like, we're not doing that right now.
Yeah, but they're like the life of the party in their white friend group. You know what I'm saying?
But do you guys hate this hairstyle or something? I like the hairstyle, son. It don't work.
I said in 2014, I did, but now...
I partially have the cut, so I can't say shit. I gotta
like it. Bro, you know how hard it is to keep your hair to sit like that?
Yeah.
That's a fact. A lot of product talking about.
It's not a realistic cut. Like,
yeah, all that fucking. Nigga, you mean
you don't even have it? What are you talking about?
Who, me? I got the partial, maybe. Like I said,
you have an afro. No. That is not.
If I have more of it, if I moved it over, gave it a more. If I bleached the tips, I'm right there. You know what I mean? Pause.
No, it's just a bad cut. This is no.
No.
Abdul, how do you feel about black people and our cuts you know.
I think y'all are trying to copy me too much. Honestly, if anything, it looks more like my hairstyle. So if we really want to go there, I mean, y'all celebrated a nice hairstyle for too long. Now you're complaining that every character has it. Make up your mind. Like, what's your problem, honestly?
Oh, shit. You just going to do that on a black platform like that? And,
just saying, before we had terrible-ass afros and terrible-ass fades and terrible-ass cornrows, nigga. Remember those cornrows? They weren't even cornrows. It was just niggas had their hair parted, and it wasn't even, like, braided.
We still have that. Besides the Harry Potter game, we still have a lot of that.
I was just about to say that. That was the last time I heard this nigga get excited or just hearing niggas have cornrows was that Harry Potter shit. Something. Was this hairstyle available in Harry Potter 2 or no?
I definitely had the curly joint in the Harry Potter game. I didn't have dreads.
Stop going through your hair, nigga. Nobody's worried about you. Sorry. Go ahead. One more time.
Oh, excuse me. Touching my hair.
Yeah, egotistical ass nigga.
Yeah, but are y'all against this? Like, I think this. I mean, I'm not looking too deep into this. Like, it's a hairstyle. I don't like it. Like, in that.
No, I'm looking deep into here. This. What do you mean? No. This is a part of our discrimination. Bro, what are you talking about?
Discrimination. We're going to fight against discrimination. I don't know. I think turning every person who has red hair black is part of discrimination. This is just like, this is a cool hairstyle.
No,
that they would like to see. Black people have just so they can approach them more. Yeah. Oh, I got it. Just so they can have open dialogue. Like, oh,
I've never known dreads of being like the approachable person. Like, usually we.
This is not approachable. Get the side part dreads with a hoodie. That nigga's not approachable.
Fam, you know, nigga's going to be like, oh my God, you got the Eddie from Tekken 8 cut. Oh my God. How you get your hair like that, man? Like, come on, stop it. We're not.
How you get your hair like
stop
that?
Stop it. Yeah, like, come on. We're not going to sit here and do this. Like, niggas know they get approached with niggas asking how you got your hair like that and what style and you remind me from such and such.
Why are you complaining about looking safe? That's a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, shit.
Like, oh, bonus shit. Right there. Style, you look
well,
safe.
Good sir, we don't have that luxury. Even with hairstyles like that, we still get perceived as dangerous, but I
even
appreciate your comment.
Even perceived as dangerous, my nigga. Like,
yeah.
That's a fact. Nigga can have no hair. Smooth balding. Yo, what that nigga up to?
I don't know. People looking at Murrow with the headband and glasses, I don't know if they're thinking like, oh, no. Let me turn the corner.
I mean, my man's it's a big nigga, bro.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I was just told the other day that I was just like, I can be seen as like scary. And I was just like, that's crazy. I'm not.
I would walk
not
the other way
that.
If I saw you. Yeah. I would clench my purse and my pearls.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I would lock my door before I walk in the gas station.
Yeah. Why did I leave my shit unlocked? I'd be like, touch
it. I'll walk down the aisle, make sure you're not stealing down there.
This nigga ain't about to do nothing.
Give me a reason.
Give me a reason.
Shit, hey.
It's like that.
I gotta stop complaining, man. We getting actual good like hair in video games now. So.
It's not actual good hair, nigga. What are we talking? There's no.
What's
adversity.
Bad about it? You were just talking about. Look at my son Echo. He looks.
I have like 10. I'm looking at 12 different characters with the same Eddie's. Fucking hairstyle. That's crazy.
Son, me, that's you, and Merle almost have the exact same hairstyle.
That's not true. We have different hair textures.
You fuck them. Don't be like. All different.
It's completely different.
If I put some water in Merle's hair, it won't curl up and look like yours.
No. That's a fact. And I'm playing. Nah, but look.
They're going out.
But to go from. To, yeah, watch them. They'll tear each other apart. Nah, to go from. Because that's crazy. Because what? When we first saw Eddie in 3, it was clear dreads. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They could have kept the whole ill dread look. Because even, what's the black dude with the pit bull and shit? Which, that's kind of low-key racist. If we're going to attack anything, we should attack that. A kung fu master and his best friend is a pit bull? Like, that doesn't get talked about. But, okay. We'll leave that one
was
alone.
Was that a typical dog?
Huh? That they know niggas love pit bulls. Stop it. We're not doing that right
whatever
now.
Whatever you like, pit bull.
Dooley, Dooley.
I don't see color, remember?
Dooley.
I don't
see it. That's right. My man, there you go. Refer to the topic A in the pod.
But that would be more of a safe choice for Eddie if you already had dreads and they did the, I don't know, the side part thing.
See, even you
know,
use that word.
The name of
safe?
The hairstyle?
I forgot.
What's the name of that hairstyle? Like, exactly. Is it really just labeled the Killmonger cut?
Like, I think it's like labeled.
The barber said, give me the Killmonger.
Or give me C. Give me the C on the board.
Yeah. That was, oh, yeah, I got you, dog. Let me see your dreads. Let me cut off half of them.
Yeah.
I got
cut off
you.
Half from shits and also shave your head on the side.
Yeah, don't worry. And we'll make sure it's lopsided so it can swoop perfectly. Fucking stupid. What?
Come on, Merle, you can still get it. I know that's what you want. There, don't let Roy and
the audience. He said he wants straight hair. He just wants a perm and a ponytail. He already said that.
You already know it. Oh, you listen to me. That was so sweet. I said that like weeks ago. I didn't think niggas remember. Niggas be fucking me up. Like, all right, I got to start reevaluating people in my life. Because sometimes I'll say shit and I don't think niggas will remember shit. And then this nigga go dropping this shit. Some nigga told me he remembered my birthday. I was like, nigga, what? Like,
exactly.
My birthday why once.
Why you remember my birthday? It's weird.
Nah, that's my dog. That's my twin, though. I ain't going to hold you. That's my twin. Shout
it's
out
different when a girl says she remember your birthday. You know that. Okay.
I don't even want to get into that. Yeah.
That's
a topic too. No, I'm
on your mind, huh?
No.
All right.
I want to bring this up on the pod, but it's
say it.
All right. And I don't know if she'll probably listen, but fuck it. I'll throw this one out there. Ooh. Is it creepy to go through my old like profile photos and like keep them in your phone?
Oh, keep them in your phone. Nuts. Yeah.
Wait, what? Wait, that's a little
odd, right?
So your profile pictures are saved on her phone?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, nigga. Yeah, she putting some voodoo type spells on you, nigga.
Yeah, I was about to say, the four pictures this man's had since, like, 2005. Yeah.
You get it? And you got it. Yeah, and I'm talking about, like, you know, just regular convo, da-da-da, shooting the shit. And, like, you sending me photos of me and my, you know, when I was going through my white boy phase, you know, my puka shells and shit. I'm like, dog, like, let that stay there. Like, I don't need you.
Sending me my profile in the group pictures chat, is crazy. Like, you know damn well I've seen, you know damn well I even have those or seen them. They're my profile pictures.
I know what I look like at this time. Like, thank you. Like, I'm good. I wasn't going crazy.
You're in her friend group chats. That shit's rough to find too, because like my old Facebook profile pictures are pretty disgusting. And like, so if the shorty shows you this and she shows you in the group chat when your friends is like, oh, what's his name, and they go through your fucking shit, that's where it's coming from. Where that she's tired of fucking going back to your profile.
But here's a double standard in the world we live in, gentlemen. Because could you do that as a man?
Save her pictures.
And now you couldn't admit it.
Definitely can't admit that shit. Don't compare me, because he can repeat this shit. Roy, I like it as a fuck no. Hell no.
I mean, we got a hidden folder, right? It's like,
do you have any pictures of my profile sitting here? No. Why would I do that?
It's called Dropbox, bitch. What you mean?
Oh, shit.
Folder for...
Do you guys think the female group chat is more ruthless than like the all-male one?
Oh, now you hot right now.
You say you've seen it?
I've seen my pictures in the female group chat. That should hurt my feelings. Damn.
That's why we said this about you, nigga. I'm like, damn.
Because it's literally like, oh, this is who you fucking? So this is my old ass long hair pictures and shit. This is who you fucking.
No stash, Dooley. That's not even the same guy.
Yeah, I'm way more... You know, those just hurt, dude. I don't know, because I don't even think I share women like that in the group chat, at least not at this age.
No, that's no, men don't do it. I remember now somebody was talking about it, like men don't do that shit. They're like, nah,
stopped. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, dude, real guys, can you tell me how much you don't think my girl's attractive?
Yeah, no, yeah,
like, nobody's doing that shit.
It'd be like it'll be someone else's girl, like, or a random person we'll talk about, but no one in the group chat's girl. We'll talk about that. Oh, yeah.
Or a hookup, like a straight up hookup. Like, yo, hey,
hookup.
Like a random body, like something crazy happened. Oh, I got like a bunch of whatever's here, some shit like that, maybe. But like, as far as like a girl I'm interested in talking to and shit, I'm like,
yeah, men are pretty seldom when it comes to things like that. We like to keep what's ours is ours. Once she's for the streets,
territorial as hell. Yeah.
Is it true that girls will be sharing dick pics? Like,
how many dick pics do y'all think y'all sent out? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. I seen my Snapchat folder. It's crazy.
His memories pop up. Oh, that was a nasty day.
Yeah, it was. I look big right here.
Bro, I sent this shit four times in one night.
There was some gauges I gave myself to. I'm like, damn, what was I eating that day?
Yo, the veins really coming through off this one.
Like, no, I'm kidding. All right, we're going crazy.
Oh, shit.
That's disgusting.
Snapchat me now. Ooh.
What you got for under the bridge, man?
Who's going first? If you. Nobody's ready, I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first.
Oh, man. Okay. Oh, thank you.
I can't wait to hear what nonsense you got, man. Let's go ahead, lay it on us.
So my under the bridge is a new show on Netflix. You know, Sasuke is about to nerd out per usual, shocker. But Pokemon Concierge. I like it. It's not bad. It's literally like if niggas just took Pokemon and, you know, what's the old boy that did Coraline and fucking Tim Burton?
Stop motion or claymation. Yeah,
stop. Stop motion animation style and mix it with the Pokemon world and bam. Like I said, honestly, I didn't think it would fit. Didn't think it would work, but it's growing on me. It is pretty crazy, and I would say, you know, just due to the fact that this is Pokemon, I know they got a lot of money put into this project, because I mean, once again, you know, we're talking about what, over possibly, you know, up to 1,000 Pokemon, and to have, you know, certain ones in there and to literally have like the intricate details of, you know, their movement style that they can easily just do so with a 2D animation cartoon, it's pretty impeccable. Like I said, I like it. It's fire. It's really dope, really solid. I want to say, I think it's just 10 episodes for right now, but just due to the high, because I've been saying a couple, you know, things here and there. Oh, no, I'm sorry, just 4 episodes right now. So I think it's going to be 10, hopefully, the way it's running. But yeah, Pokemon Concierge. Check it out, Netflix.
Pokemon Concierge.
Watch your fucking mouth. I don't even like how you repeated that after I said that. Watch your mouth.
Just was trying to get the name right when I watch it, you know?
All right. Be easy.
I haven't been watching much, but like I think the latest album? Thing I watched was True Detective season 4. Just aired. So I don't know if y'all are familiar with True Detective season. Every season of True Detective is pretty much a different story, so you can watch whatever seasons. But season 4 just aired. The first episode just came out. I'm definitely liking it. I'm definitely interested. It's kind of, I think I talked to DeAndre about it, where it's going a little more like mystical, natural, a little more shit. Supernatural, a little more scary elements instead, whereas the first 3 seasons were like legitimate detective stories, which were really cool. But I like it. It has Jodie Foster as the main lead actress. It's on HBO, so you know HBO series is A1.
And they show titties.
But yeah, first episode is out now. I was gonna just say, like, that's the one I'm watching now. I think it's good, but if you haven't seen True Detective at all, I beg you to please watch season 1. You will not regret it. There is nothing else I'm gonna like recommend to watch other than season 1 of True Detective ever. Like, it's on HBO. Just put the first episode on. If you don't like it, turn it off. That's it. Just start that now, though.
This nigga's so passionate. That camera get to shaking. Boy.
Watch that shit now. I told DeAndre. DeAndre binged that shit in like 2 days. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you.
In my defense, I've seen it, but I've only seen one scene, and I'm doing it with season 2.
You saw a sex scene of season 1 fire. And then went back and watched the show. But season 1 is the best eight episodes of TV you can watch.
He's not wrong. It's a really good show. It's a season's fire. And it got the boys in it. You got fucking Matthew McConaughey and fucking Woody Harrelson. Yeah. The boys.
All right.
Yeah.
The white girl from Tommy is in there too, Merle. You
know. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
She's naked in there too. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so all right. HBO Max, right?
Yeah.
There we go. See? Adding to the list as we speak.
Mine is a video game that came out last year called Forspoken. That shit had gotten review bombed like hell, and I don't want to say review bomb, actually. It's like it's pretty mid-a-roni. It's like a 6 out of 10. But I let that discourage me from actually playing it for myself, and I really enjoyed this shit. I've been playing the fuck out of it. I think I got like 14 hours on the shit already. The story's whatever, but the fucking combat and the traversal is fucking fire. Graphics are whatever, and the main character is whatever. But just take that aside and just like do it for the gameplay and do it for like the traversal. It's fun as shit to play. Like I said, it's like a 6 out of 10, but you know, play a game for yourself and say if you like it. This is a lot of fun playing this. I'm still playing it. It's gonna hold me over until Grand Blue Fantasy comes out. So check for Spoken out. I got it for like $27 on PlayStation, and it's always on sale, like Steam or wherever video games are sold. So Merle, go ahead. And
try to sound a little bit more enthused.
I can just tell you that I had a good time playing it, but like I don't think anyone else is gonna have a good time playing it. Like
it's probably worth $27 for sure. Yeah. It looked like a really good
Yeah, it's like really fun to play, but like damn. I was like, damn, I don't want to spend $30 on this. And even when I spent the $27 or $30 on it, I was like, damn, this is still kind of too much. But like it's still fun. It's still really fun to play.
Oh shit.
But yeah, shout out to that game, man.
Alright, my Under the Bridge is going to be the best album that came out last week. 21 Savage's American Dream.
Oh shit. I was gonna say Kid Cudi.
Pod's over.
It is fire. Shout out to, I'm really fucking with a bunch of different vibes on here, like I was saying. Letter to My Brother. That is that's a real song right there. Hits you
Red
right.
Rum.
Red Room's eye is a little.
What are we doing? Stop it!
Yeah, Roy, I know. Roy, I'm like crazy. I'm like Joe Budden loved that shit. I'm like, he loved that shit, and it's like the first single. I watched a video yesterday. But I'm like, maybe I need to listen in the car. But like, Letter to My Brother, like I said, that's basically a song to Young Thug talking about the court case, talking about Gunna, talking about people switching up, all that shit. Also, Should Have Wore a Bonnet with Brent Faiyaz on it. Like, and there's another in the joint with Summer Walker. He goes in his R&B bag and like towards that last half of his album, and it's really smooth and then closes it out really well. But yeah, 21 Savage American Dream, way to like start off the year with Flip.
Oh, like yeah, that Flip he did with the Faith Evan joint. That joint was hard. Real quick before we close out, you know, I just looked at my phone. I thought it was pretty crazy. I mean, we did speak about it, but that Cat Williams, man, that interview, 50 million views in 13 days.
50 is crazy.
That's pretty impeccable, I must say. That's crazy.
Are you going to watch the special? Are you going to buy a ticket?
My mom's talking about that.
Wait, he coming to D.C.?
I don't know where he's coming to.
I think he was going to Richmond. Yeah, I think Richmond.
Richmond a little sketchy. I might need to.
What does that mean?
Carry a little tool with me.
You go to DC, sir. No. Niggas, and Richmond sketchy.
Richmond. Shoot.
DC is different. Yeah. DC is way different.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm not going anywhere like serious in DC. Normally I'm going to a car parking garage in DC.
Yeah. Going to Howard Theater.
Yeah, going to Adams Morgan, the Ratchets.
Even Adams Morgan.
Parking, Adams parking Morgan. Garage in Adams Morgan. But that's
nigga, I am not
years.
22.
I'm saying it's been years, bro.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
So you're not 22?
Yeah, I'm not 22. This ain't U Street vibe days, nigga.
Oh, come on, dude. That's the goal.
Oh, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Cheesing. Yeah, I won so many times out there. Tell us. Let us know about the stories. How many times you went out there, huh?
That Snapchat was built up.
As you send them, never mind, you know, no, I ain't gonna do that to you. You my man, I ain't gonna do that to you. I like that.
He gonna do it to you after the pod. He gonna literally as soon as I hit stop, he gonna be like, I remember that time, yeah.
That's our real friend pod. You're supposed to wait till after that, then blast you. I'm not gonna do it on there. That's crazy.
All right, y'all, this is going to do it for us. If you enjoyed the audio version, check out the video version on our YouTube channel, and we will catch you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.